Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer with you on WNYC, and I know it's President's Day, not Mayor's Day, but let's continue our first round of interviews with the New York City mayoral hopefuls. Remember, both parties seem headed for interesting primary seasons as of now, and this week we'll talk to two more of the Republicans in the race. This Wednesday, it'll be former MTA Chief Joe Loda, and right now, Manhattan publisher Tom Allen. He could be on the ballot in November no matter what. In fact, it looks like he will, having won the nomination of the New York State Liberal Party. Now, if you know the community newspapers, Our Town or the West Side Spirit, those are his. Also the newspaper City and State, which covers New York politics. And the magazine New York Family, Tom, that's yours too, right?
Sure, as well as Avenue Magazine and Dan's Papers.
And Tom Allen, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. Nice to be here.
You were running for mayor as a Democrat until you started running for mayor as a Republican in October. Did you have an ideological epiphany?
Sort of. I was going around the city speaking to people for about 6 months, and many people said to me, and they echoed what I was thinking, which is that the city needs somebody who's a fiscal moderate to conservative and a social liberal, which is really, there's a proud tradition going back to Fiore LaGuardia and John Lindsay and obviously Rudy Giuliani and Mike Bloomberg. So I realized that I think my views, at least on the mayoral level, fit more with the Republican Party and the ideals of getting our budget in line, getting our fiscal house in order. And so I thought that was where my ideas could be best heard.
Are you Republican enough to win a primary against people with longer-term Republican or conservative cred?
I hope so, and I think so. I mean, it's one of those situations where, you know, there's some smart candidates that have emerged in the last 2 months. You know, when I first jumped in October, I was the only candidate. Now we've got, obviously, a much bigger field. And, you know, I respect Joe Loda, I respect John Catsimatidis and some of the others. I think we're going to have a vigorous debate about the future of the city.
You wrote an op-ed in the Daily News when the Occupy Wall Street encampment was going on in the fall of 2011. Headline, Why I Support Occupy Wall Street, a mayoral candidate reflects on a night spent in Zuccotti Park. Was that before you had your – well, it was before you had your party change. Was it before you had your epiphany about being a fiscal conservative?
I would have slept there whether I was a registered Republican or not. I'm a journalist first, and George Plimpton was one of my heroes. And I believe that to understand something, you really have to participate as opposed to just stand on the sidelines. I believe Occupy Wall Street pointed out to our society, and it shifted the debate from the deficit to other things. And I think the people who did that were very wise, and I supported them.
But do you think the Republican primary base would take to a headline that says, Why I Support Occupy Wall Street? These are the people who have to elect you.
Some will, some won't. And,
or nominate you, at least.
You know, what the Republican Party in New York has to do is recognize that the progressive and liberal wing of the Republican Party has to come back. That's the way that Rudy Giuliani won. That's the way that Mike Bloomberg won. And that's the only way that a Republican is going to win. No Republican candidate in history in New York City has won the mayoralty without the support of the Liberal Party. And that's why I think I'm the most compelling candidate in the bunch.
And we'll get to your having the Liberal Party line, making you a likely presence in the November election, no matter what happens on primary day. Mm-hmm. But still about the primary, the city has about a 5-to-1 Democrat to Republican voter registration. Who do you see as the Republican electorate demographically or politically in New York City? Is it a set of communities? Is it a set of interests and principles? Who do you see as the people you're trying to appeal to get your vote?
Sure. I think it's people, first of all, who realize that there's a ticking time bomb right now in the city budget. We've got a $70 billion city budget that's gone up from $45 billion when Mike Bloomberg and Christine Quinn started setting budgets each year. We've also got a $10 billion unfunded potential liability to the unions in the city that haven't had a contract for 4 years. What I'm going around speaking to Republican groups, I'm talking about this ticking time bomb that no one else is speaking about, and I'm trying to come up with ways to solve that potential problem. I just saw the Ed Koch movie the other night, the documentary. The city was a mess in 1977, and one of the things that Ed Koch did well was to say no, and we need to make sure the next mayor knows when to say no and when to say yes.
Who would you say no to? For example, who you think the Democrats running in the Democratic primary might be more inclined to say yes to?
Well, we just had a perfect example. You know, there was a bus strike for 2 weeks in the city. The school bus drivers. And what Mike Bloomberg did, to his credit, is say, we have $1 billion we're spending, which is much too much to bus 150,000 kids around the city, much more per kid than in other cities in this country. And that they identified savings of a couple of $100 million. So they had to, the city hung strong and the DOE hung strong, and they basically won that fight. However, the five Democratic mayoral candidates have signed a petition saying they might reverse that. That's a perfect example of the problem that we're going to have next year if we elect one of those Democrats.
So you think the mayor was right to dig in on this idea of no job protection for the school bus drivers when they, you know, their companies may be bought by other companies?
Yes, because, again, the key thing the mayor has to do, the mayor has to represent the taxpayers of the city, not special interests, not unions. Union members, special interests are all taxpayers. We have to make sure that we don't keep on raising property tax in the city. When we look at rents around the city and the high cost of living, it's because taxes have gone up and property taxes have gone up 18% in the last 10 years. We can't keep on doing that and try to keep the middle class in New York. And that's the hidden tax that people are not looking at. So we have to bring down that $70 billion budget.
Tom Allen, my guest on WNYC, running for the Republican nomination for mayor of New York City this year. And you already have the backing of the New York State Liberal Party. That's official?
That is official. Last January, after a series of meetings, the executive committee gave me their endorsement. I was very proud of that. You know, the Liberal Party started back in the late 40s when FDR was around, and its motto was, the Liberal Party exists in New York State to keep the Democrats honest and the Republicans liberal. That is exactly what I hope to do. A fusion candidacy of a liberal party and the Republican Party has been successful in numerous mayoral elections, and it will be this year.
And that Koch documentary, which I also saw recently, reminds us that the Liberal Party played a very significant role in the mayoral race between Cuomo and Koch back in the 70s.
Absolutely. The Liberal Party, you know, and if you look at when Rudy Giuliani won in 1983, the margin of victory was the Liberal Party votes that he had. And let's not forget, John Lindsay, back in 1973, won the mayoralty just on the liberal line. I could potentially repeat that this year.
But the Liberal Party, as you know, has gone into a major state of decline. Mm-hmm. And didn't it even lose its ballot line?
It did. Andrew Cuomo inadvertently killed that the Liberal Party in 2002 when he took the ballot line in the gubernatorial election, and then he pulled out. But the Liberal Party is a brand, and many people know it around the city, and they know the power that it's had in its history, and we're going to bring the Liberal Party back.
So does it even automatically have a line, or are you 100% confident that you will have a Liberal Party line to run on if you don't get the Republican nomination?
Absolutely, because whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a liberal or an Independence Party person, you have to get 3,750 signatures. I will get those signatures and be on the ballot.
And do you worry about potentially playing spoiler if there's a Republican nominee who's not you and a Democratic nominee, and it sounds like you would lean toward the values of the Republican nominee, probably, even if it's one of your opponents, based on this fiscal restraint, you may wind up playing spoiler and electing the Democrat?
I don't think so. I mean, first of all, I would only do it if I thought that I had a chance to win, and certainly to influence the debate, which I think I've done so far. I think I've influenced the debate towards reforming education. So I would only do that in November and run on the liberal line if I felt that I could win, and hopefully elect myself.
Mayoral hopeful Tom Allen, our guest. You've been involved with giving out education awards each year. And full disclosure, I hosted your award ceremony one year.
You were a great host. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you. As a volunteer, no money changed hands between us, but you've looked deeply at education issues is the point. How did Mayor Bloomberg do in this area, in your opinion?
I think the mayor, even by his own admission, and if you look at an interview that he did with the Atlantic Monthly recently, he said that education did not improve enough the past decade. I think, you know, I will give the mayor credit for what I would call draining the swamp of education. I think he got rid of local school boards and some of the corruption that was going on in education. He certainly ambitiously tried to make charter schools an important part of education. He certainly raised the pay of teachers, which back in 2005. So there were some things that I think the mayor did well, and I think he certainly set up the next person potentially. But unfortunately, there's many things that he hasn't done, which I believe are the crux of the problem. Teachers are leaving the system. 50% of teachers leave the teaching system within 5 years. if we had that happening in medicine or in law, we would talk about malpractice. We are committing educational malpractice by allowing half of the teachers in the system. You don't become a good teacher until your third or fourth year at best. And I have a solution for that. And there's been a solution suggested by the National Association that accredits education programs. People that go to schools of education, people that want to become teachers, should train like doctors. They should have clinical training 3 years in the classroom before they actually become full teachers. That is the way it worked for doctors back in the early 20th century. That changed the way we train doctors. That's what we should do for teachers. And we need more professional development of teachers once they're in the classroom. We need to have master teachers and mentor teachers so that teachers can improve constantly.
But isn't this the opposite of the focus that Mayor Bloomberg and so many reformers have today? There's so much talk about how to get rid of bad teachers and very little talk about how to attract good teachers.
See, I think that is the problem. And again, even though I think the mayor's intentions are good and the governor's intentions are good, they don't understand education from the inside. I was a teacher for 2 years. There is nothing more difficult than standing in front of a classroom five times a day, motivating and inspiring and reaching 35 kids. I did it at a very good high school, Stuyvesant, and I still found it the most difficult job I've ever had. So teacher evaluations is actually a dodge. What we need to do is focus on recruiting the right teachers, training them properly, and then giving them the proper professional development. And yes, we need to evaluate them, but as a way to give them feedback to get better, not to catch the ones that are failing.
So when you say teacher evaluations, which is the big issue right now, yep, is a dodge, do you oppose this system that got approved at the state level, and now Governor Cuomo says he might impose a system on New York City if Mayor Bloomberg and the teachers union can't actually ever agree on one, which so far they can't. But it's a certain percentage evaluation based on their student standardized test scores and a certain percentage based on principal observations and evaluations. Is that wrong?
I do oppose it because it's a dodge and it's missing the fundamental point, which is that you have to train teachers. And you talk about principals, Brian. Principals have to stop being building managers and they have to start becoming instructional leaders. When I was a teacher at Stuyvesant, I knew the good teachers in the school. The principal should know who the good teachers are in the school. The principal should go from classroom to classroom as the instructional leader, giving constant feedback to those teachers. There needs to be other master teachers going from classroom to classroom each day, giving feedback. If we focus on teacher evaluations and these ridiculous percentages, we're going to miss the forest for the trees once again.
We have a roundtable coming up of three New York principals later in the show. When you say they need to be instructional leaders, not just building managers. Is this something that principals are doing wrong or something that the system forces them into?
I believe the system forces them into it. And again, we need a mayor who understands education in a nuanced way. The definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and then wonder why it's not succeeding. For 40 years, we've had our education system in decline in this city. We have to reverse that or else we're going to become a second-class city. And all other issues, unemployment, our tax base, public safety, stems from having an educated populace and an educated group of kids. You know, only one in five kids who graduate from New York City high schools finish college. That is an abysmal statistic that has to change or else this city will become a second-class city.
Mayoral hopeful Tom Allen, our guest for another couple of minutes. You went to and taught at Stuyvesant. What do you think about the one high-stakes test method of selecting students for the school, which is newly controversial, or renewed, once again controversial?
I've spoken out about this. This has been one of my pet peeves. When I took that test over 30 years ago, Brian, I had no preparation when I walked into that room. And I fortunately was able to succeed on that test. Right now, we have test prep classes throughout this city that kids are starting to take in second and third grade. I know because I taught those classes about 25 years ago when I was a teacher at Stuyvesant. I was actually hired out in Flushing, Queens to teach a class of 26 children every Saturday for 3 hours in English. They did that from the age of 9 years old. While your kids were out there playing soccer and my kids were playing soccer on Saturdays, these kids were prepping for the test. The assistant principal at Stuyvesant told me that the kids that are getting in these days are good at taking that test, but not necessarily good at writing or good at doing the English that needs to be done at that school. We need to reform that test and add a a written component to it. And I also believe that we have to figure out a way to diversify that school. The minority population of that school has gone down to 1% African-American, 2% Latino. That is shameful. That's apartheid-like. If a student is good enough to finish first in their class in middle school in the city, they should be good enough to go to Stuyvesant or Bronx Science. We should come up with a system where we allot a certain number of seats to valedictorians of their middle school classes.
We have 1 minute left. What else would you like to say to the voters of New York that I haven't brought up?
Well, the New York City, the stakes for this election is going to be huge. We've had a very strong mayor for the past 20 years. You know, Rudy Giuliani was the right man at the right time, changed the city, made it governable, and also obviously changed public safety. Certainly it was helped a little bit by David Dinkins and Ray Kelly before that. Mike Bloomberg came along at a very tough time and managed the city well. As I've said on the campaign trail, after 20 years of good mayors, it'll just take 2 years of a bad mayor to reverse all the gains that we've made. So voters have to look very carefully at the people that are running and say to themselves, do I trust this person to fiscally manage the city so that we don't go into decline like we did back in the 70s with Abe Beame and into the Ed Koch administration? Do I trust this person to turn around the education system? Do I trust this person to continue public safety in the same way that Giuliani and Bloomberg has? I fit all those criteria. I don't think anybody else does.
By the way, I'm starting to ask the candidates if you care when primary day is. We have this bizarre situation now, as you know, where the state legislature has to decide whether the mayoral primaries are going to take place in September, as they have in the past, or be moved up to June this year, and they still haven't decided. Do you care?
I've learned a long time ago to focus on things that I have control over. I don't really have any control over that. I don't really care. I would hope to have enough time to campaign. I could argue that having a June primary is good for a Republican candidate or Republican nominee because there'll be plenty of time to square off against a Democrat then.
New York City mayoral hopeful Tom Allen running in the Republican primary. He's already got the Liberal Party nomination. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Brian. Great to be here.
We'll keep talking during the campaign. And coming up next in our series of mayoral hopefuls, we have former MTA chair Joe Loda, also running in the Republican primary. He'll be with us on Wednesday. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. For this President's Day, we will remember candidates who lost their races for president but had a big impact on America anyway. Barry Goldwater, yes. George McGovern, yes. Al Gore, yes. But we'll also go way back. Stay with us.